The last several months we have been looking at grace and what it means to be transformed by grace and what it means to live by grace. And last couple of weeks we started the first test of living by grace. If you are living by grace, and that means that you realize that you were saved not according to anything you have done, but according to God's unmerited favor, and that everything you have and everything you do is because God has given it to you and He enables you to do those righteous things, then you're living by grace. And if you're living by grace, there are certain attitudes that ought to be evident in your life, certain characteristics that ought to be evident in your life. And we looked at the first one, and that is contentment. To the degree that you see contentment in your life is an indication of the degree to which you are living by grace. Now today we're going to look at a second characteristic that should be evident in your life if you're living by grace, and that is gratitude. And that's good because we're approaching Thanksgiving Day, and as we look at gratitude, we will notice that it naturally follows contentment. Now, if you're not content, it's difficult to have gratitude, isn't it? Because you're always wanting more, and it's hard to be grateful. It's hard to have thanksgiving in your heart if you're not content. But if you are content, it only follows naturally that you will also have an attitude of gratitude. Now, today we're going to look at the first section of Psalm 100. So take your Bibles and turn over to Psalm 100. Now, this is the last psalm in a series of psalms that deal with the kingship of the Lord God of Israel. These are called the royal psalms as they deal with God's kingship. And this psalm is kind of the conclusion of these psalms that talk about God reigning and ruling. And it's a psalm of thanksgiving. It's a psalm of gratitude. Now, it's important that you and I understand the structure of this psalm as we look at it. And so I have given the structure there to you, and I want you to look at it. First, in Psalm verses 1 through 3, what we have is our responses of gratitude. He says, "Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before the Lord with joyful singing." That's our response to our gratitude toward God. Then he gives the reasons for our gratitude. Why should we give these responses of gratitude? And he tells us, "Know that the Lord Himself is God." First reason. Second, that is He who has made us, not we ourselves. He's our Creator. Third reason, we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. He is our shepherd. Now, the second section of this psalm repeats this same form. First, it gives our responses of thanksgiving. Verse 4, "Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him, bless His name." And then it gives the reasons for our thanksgiving. "For the Lord is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting, and His faithfulness to all generations." And so this psalm is beautifully symmetric, as we have the same form followed throughout in both sections. Now today, we're going to look at the first section. We're going to look at gratitude. Lord willing, next week we'll look at the second section that deals with thanksgiving. Now I'm going to change the form in my preaching. I am going to give you, go back to the slide before, I'm going to give you the reasons for gratitude first, and then the responses of gratitude. Now why am I doing that? Because our actions should always be based on truth. Your actions should not be based on your emotions. Your actions should not be based on your opinions. But you and I, as Christians, should always act according to truth. We should respond to God according to His truth, not according to how we feel at the moment or what others might think. But we respond to God according to truth. And so I want to deal with the truth before us first, and then the response that that truth should bring out in us. Okay? All right, first of all, let's look at the reasons for our gratitude in verse 3. And there are three of those. First one, he says, "Know that the Lord Himself is God." What the psalmist is doing here is he's proclaiming that Yahweh, the covenant God of Israel and of the church, is the only God. The Lord Himself, Yahweh Himself, you remember that was His covenant name that He told Israel, call me Yahweh. The Lord Himself is God. And remember that in the Old Testament days that there were many, many gods. All the nations had their God or gods. And so when David proclaims that Yahweh Himself is the only God, this is a dramatic statement. This is a bold statement. But he's saying that the reason we should have gratitude to God is because He alone is God. The God we worship is the only true God. Allah of the Muslims is not God. The hundreds of gods, in fact, I think there are thousands of gods of Hinduism, are not true gods. We alone worship the true God. Our gratitude starts when we recognize that this only true God, in His sovereign grace, chose us to be saved from eternal damnation and to become a part of His family. Over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, Paul speaks about this thanksgiving and gratitude when he says in chapter 2, verse 13, but we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord. Why? Because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. Paul says, we thank God for you because God chose you from the beginning. Now, when was the beginning? The beginning of what, you might say? Well, what does Genesis 1:1 say? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Before time was, before the world was, Paul says, from the beginning, from the foundation of the world, God chose you to be His special treasure. Before you could do anything good or do anything bad. You see, God's choice of you is unconditional. It's not based on you or anything you do or anything you do not do. There's nothing about us that deserves for God to choose us. Now, God did not look down the tunnel of time and say, well, look at Bill. Bill's going to be a good guy and Bill's going to believe in me and Bill's going to start going to church. So, hey, I think I'll choose him. No. The Scripture is clear that it was because of God's sovereign goodwill and pleasure. He just chose you because He wanted to. He just chose you to be His because it was His pleasure to do so. Now, when I recognize that, you know what that does in my heart? Man, it brings gratitude. When I realize the God of the universe, the sovereign God, did not have to choose me, was nothing in me worthy of His choice. He knew all the sins I would ever commit when He chose me, and yet still, He chose me anyway, just because of His good pleasure. Man, that just makes me so thankful. That just makes gratitude well up in my heart. That gratitude evokes me to realize that God alone has chosen me to be His special treasure. And so that's the first reason for our gratitude, because the Lord Himself is God. All right, next. God is our Creator. The psalmist said, it is He who has made us and not we ourselves. God is our Creator and we owe everything to Him. You're not here by chance. You're not here by evolution. You are here by the loving design of a loving Creator God. Now, when we recognize that God is our Creator, we also recognize our dependence on Him, don't we? Paul speaks of this in Acts 17, beginning in verse 26. And He made from one man, He's talking about Adam, every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation. For in Him we live and move and exist. Now look at what Paul's saying here. As the Creator, God determines our appointed time to live on this earth. He determined that you would be born in this 20th century. He determined that you would be living into the 21st century. Now, for one, I'm thankful that I wasn't born 200 years ago. Now, you ladies ought to really be thankful you wasn't born 200 years ago. No washing machine, scrub it out on the rock, no dishwashers, no sewing machines, no microwave ovens, no fast foods, no refrigerators, no frozen dinners, I mean, you know, your life would be, now the men, let's face it, guys, we get to go out and hunt all the time. You know, we get to spend the majority of our day out hunting and getting some food, maybe planting a few crops. But the ladies would have it extremely difficult. And our lives wouldn't be as easy as we might think either. So I'm thankful that God had me born today. But not only does He determine when you'll be born, but look, it says, and the boundaries of their habitation. He determines where you were born. I, for one, am glad I was born in the United States of America. I've never been in any country, and there's a lot I haven't been in, but I've read about a lot of them, seen pictures of a lot of them. I haven't found one yet I'd rather be born in. I thank God. I am grateful that He chose to allow me to be born in this blessed land. And He goes on to say that not only is He the Creator, but He who's made us, and we are not ourselves. We are His. As our Creator, we belong to Him. That means He is my Lord. He is my Creator. I owe Him my obedience and my allegiance. He is God. He is Lord. He is my Creator. And He's your Creator. Third reason we should have gratitude is that our God is our Shepherd. Verse 3, for we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. The concept of God as a shepherd brings out the personal nature of God's relationship to us. The Old Testament shepherd had a relationship to his sheep. The sheep knew his voice. He named them all, and they knew his voice. They wouldn't follow a strange shepherd, but they would follow him because they recognized his voice. Jesus picks up on this analogy of the sheep and the shepherd. When over in John 10:14, He says, for I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. You see, God knows us personally. He knows us deeply because He is our shepherd. Not only does He know us, but He also protects us. A shepherd's job was to protect his sheep. We know the Old Testament story. David told King Saul, when Saul said, you can't go up against Goliath. David said, oh yeah, but you don't realize, man, when the bear came out, I protected the sheep. When the lion came out, I protected the sheep and ran them off. And God gave me victory over the lion and the bear, and He'll give me victory over Goliath. So the shepherd was responsible for protecting his sheep. Jesus protects us from evil and Satan's harm. He will not allow anything to come in our lives that will be detrimental to our spiritual health. Doesn't mean you won't have hardships and difficulties. Oh no, but it won't be detrimental to your spiritual well-being. Also, the shepherd provides for his sheep. Everything the sheep needed, the shepherd provided for it. The shepherd would lead them to the pastures so they would have something to eat. The shepherd would lead them to the water so they would have something to drink. When they were sick or they had bugs or mites or something, the shepherd would anoint them with oil, healing salves. He would take care of them. When they were lost, He would go out and seek to find them. Our God supplies all of our needs. Look in Philippians 4:19. And my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ. So God has promised to provide our every need. You cannot have a need that's too great for God to meet if you're one of His children. Now, you can see the truth that leads to the actions of gratitude, can't you? God is the only God, is our God. And our God has chosen us to be His children. Our God is the Creator God, and He created us. Our God is our shepherd, and He cares for us, and He knows us, and He protects us. Now, when you see this truth, now I believe we're ready to move to the responses of gratitude. What should this truth evoke out of me? What kind of response should I give in response to this glorious truth about God? Three things. First, it says we are to shout joyfully to the Lord. Verse 1. How long has it been since you've shouted joyfully to the Lord? If you've shouted joyfully to the Lord in the last week, would you raise your hand? Don't be bashful, right? If you've shouted joyfully to the Lord in the last month, okay, good. If you shouted joyfully to the Lord in the last 2 months, all right, we're to shout joyfully to the Lord. Now, we don't have any trouble shouting at football games, do we? And the same folks that shout like a Comanche Indian at the football game sit like a wooden Indian in church. We were at a ball game a couple of weeks ago, and I found myself up shouting. We were scoring. If we get excited about things like that, how much more should we shout to the Lord? How many of you have shouted at your husband in the last month? Now, don't raise your hand. How many of you guys have shouted at your wife? How many parents have shouted at the children? See, we do shout. We just don't shout to the Lord too much, do we? God never tells us to shout at a football game or to shout at family members. But what we are told to do is to shout to the Lord. Try it sometime if you haven't done it. It's freeing. Just get by yourself somewhere, if you're embarrassed. Just get by yourself somewhere and just shout to the Lord. It's freeing. It's amazing how it just seems to lift you up and free your spirit. Now over in Revelation chapter 5, we read that shouting goes on in heaven. This is the scene around heaven that John sees. God is on His throne in the emerald rainbow. Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne and living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice. Now that's a shout. Saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." Now this tells me that shouting goes on in heaven. Doesn't it tell you that? Now, if it's right for heaven, can it be wrong for earth? Some people might say, "But it's not dignified, preacher." Well, what does dignified mean anyway? Dignified is how you would act in the presence of a dignitary. I don't know any greater dignitary than the Lord God Almighty, do you? And if He welcomes and has shouting going on in His presence, don't tell me it's not dignified to shout to the Lord. Amen? How would you like to do some shouting to the Lord? Huh? You want to do that? All right, why don't you stand up? Come on. Come on. I don't want to have all the fun. Come on. Going to get free here now, aren't we? Yeah. A little freedom. All right. Now, we're going to start off with just praise the Lord. All right, that's easy. We can all say that together. Now, remember, you're shouting to the Lord. You're not shouting to the person next to you, in front of you. You're shouting to the Lord. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, okay? I'm going to say one, two, three, and then we'll say, "Praise the Lord." Said we're going to shout it. All right, ready? One, two, three. Praise the Lord! All right? That was a good start. Some of you a little timidness to the Lord. All right, let's do it again. One, two, three. Praise the Lord! All right, now we're going to say, "Praise the Lord, hallelujah." Okay? If you want to raise your hands, feel free. Don't have to. All right, one, two, three. Praise the Lord, hallelujah! All right, am I just hearing myself? All right, let's do it. All right, tell you what. We got the verse up here. "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." This was shouted in heaven. Let's shout it here on earth and honor our God. Show Him our gratitude for being our Creator and for being our God, the true God, and for being our Shepherd. All right, let's shout that together. All right, we ready? "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." Amen. Give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. All right, you may be seated. Amen. It's freeing, isn't it? It's obedient. It's not a suggestion. Shout joyfully to the Lord. Second response to His gratitude, our gratitude to Him, should be to serve the Lord with gladness. Do you serve God with gladness? I'm afraid too many times we serve God with weariness, with dread, with resentment. You know, we know we ought to help this person out, or we ought to teach at class, or we ought to work in the nursery, but we don't do it with gladness. We do it reluctantly. We do it in weariness. We do it in dread, not in gladness. But when we realize that our God that we serve is the only true God, and when we realize that the God whom we serve has chosen us to be His children out of all the peoples of the world, And when we realize that our God has created us and that He is our shepherd who cares for us and He will provide everything we need to serve Him, then we can serve Him with gladness. I know it's true for me, and I imagine it may be true for you, but I think sometimes we lack gladness in our service because we feel so inadequate. And we just feel like, well, you know, I just don't think I'm doing that good a job, and you know, God deserves nothing but the best, and I'm just, you know, perfection is what He deserves, and I'm just not perfect. And so that sometimes, if you're kind of given toward perfection, that can kind of cause you to not serve God with gladness. But what we have to do is realize that He, as our shepherd, will provide the grace. Remember, grace, God's enabling power. He will provide the grace we need to serve Him with gladness and to serve Him as He would have us to serve Him. Right, the third response is we are to sing joyfully to the Lord. It says, come before Him with joyful singing. A natural expression of gratitude is joyful singing to the Lord. A natural expression of joy is singing. Now, is it just me? Am I the only person that I really get excited about something? I'll start, start singing a little song, make up a song or something. You ever do that? Oh, praise the Lord. You know, so it just comes out in song. Is it just me? Brian, I know you probably do that sometimes. You know, you just find yourself singing. If something you just really, something really happens great, or something you just really thankful for, you find yourself just kind of singing a little tune, making up something or some song, you know. Well, that's what we're talking about here. You know, it's just should be a natural expression of our gratitude to the Lord to just sing for joy. Just lift up your voice joyfully to the Lord. And I think if we'll take time to meditate on this truth, that our God is the only true God, and that He is our Creator, and He has made us and placed us here, that everything we have is because of His grace, a gift to us. Every perfect thing comes from above, and that He is our shepherd, that we will find ourselves joyfully singing. Don't you think? I want us just to bow our heads and take a moment to meditate on these truths about God as your Creator and the only true God and your shepherd. And I'm going to ask the praise team to come up while we're meditating. Now let's just before the Lord, just meditate a moment and think about your God and what we've seen today.